loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to Psalm 130. The Lord direct our hearts into the scriptures. Isn't it good to be a child of God?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the blessed hope. Lord, thank you for our American freedom. Lord, we feel it slipping away, but we thank you for it. Lord, thank you for the provisions and protections along the way. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost in these hours, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said,
amen.
I shall come into these scriptures again. And let the Lord direct our hearts into the exhortations that the Lord knows we need tonight. Aren't you glad he knows what we need?
Amen.
I never know what a church needs in my evangelistic meeting, revival meeting, and I don't need to know. God is real good at running his business.
Amen.
I don't need to know. And oftentimes people tell me, you know, try to tell me this or that, and nobody's done that today or with this church, but a lot of times in my travels in revivals, they'll share burdens and battles. But a long time ago, I learned that Romans 8, it's so true. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell you something that'll help us in our prayer life. And whether it be your family, whether it be your church, whether it be your personal life, me and you don't know the need. My daddy went to heaven last September. And he would tell me one time, and we have our three children, and I was sharing something with him about one of them, and he said, son, you never know. You'd be burdened for one child and never even know the devil's after the other one.
Amen.
And oftentimes we're guilty in churches. We know who has cancer. We know who just lost a baby, you know, and the burdens. And we think that's the prayer need, and that's the prayer request. And truly, we ought to bear one another's burdens. But the truth is, when you get down to pray, there's things going on every pew that you have no clue.
That's right.
You better confess your ignorance when you go in that prayer room. You go in that throne room. You got no business, me and you have no business telling God much of anything.
Amen.
Ask him, thank him, worship him, but don't be telling him like he don't know.
Amen.
He knows what you don't know.
Amen.
And every church I'm in, sometimes somebody, and sometimes even the pastor, they'll tell me what they need. And if I'm close enough to them, if I'm not close, I just act nice. Let it go. But if I'm close to them, and God's given me great friendships and fellowships, I'll tell them, you know, brother, that's probably not really the need. That's not the need. We don't know the need. God's the only one who knows what he's doing in his church.
Amen.
He's the only one who knows what he's doing in your children.
Amen.
Your prayer life ought not consist of you telling God five strong suggestions of how he should work in your life. A whole lot of our Wednesday night prayer requests, and you know, name that body part. Which I did this morning, so. I have so many standards, sometimes I have double standards. Amen.
But good heavens, you'd think this is a medical clinic and not a spiritual body. Y'all talk to me. I get tickled because I read where the Father didn't take the cup from Jesus. He asked him three times. From his only beloved son. And he didn't take the thorn from Paul. Whether you like it or not, he was a special apostle. Boy, the world hates him, don't they, Brother Lawson? Woo, they hate Paul. Call him a male chauvinist, and then it just gets uglier from there. And, they hate him. And I got news for them. The Jesus they act like they like is not the Jesus of the Bible. They got a little effeminate, womanly haired, wearing a white robe and floating around. Our teacher, our example. That I didn't watch. I don't watch much of anything. But, been seeing about some of them Super Bowl ads. As silly as that bracelet they had out 20 years ago, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Probably smack you upside the head. Probably flip the tables over. Last time we saw him in the church age, John saw him. His feet like brass and fire coming out of his eyes and a white holy head of hair. And thank God he was walking in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. That's my burden tonight, the church, in Psalm 133. And it ain't because of anything I've heard from anything. I preach. I run the calculator the other day. I took 5 years worth of meetings and calculated the actual math. And I preach in 110.5 churches a year. The 0.5. Somewhere, Brother Lawson, there's a half a church. And I think I know which one it is, but I'm not going to tell them. Don't want to hurt their feelings. And I'll only tell you, but we got to go to Waffle House and you got to buy the chili. And my brain, I'm not as sharp as some of my smart friends. I couldn't keep up with what was happening in the 110 church. I'm liable to hear something about church A and then apply it to church C. I get my stories mixed up. Thank God I got enough spiritual sense to know ain't nobody knows what a church needs except the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most of our praying is praying against the will of God anyway. Back to the thorn and the cup. Paul was a special apostle. And he prayed thrice that the Lord would take that thorn. God said, not going to do it. I'm the one that put it there. Most of our Wednesday night prayer requests is telling God why he needs to take things out of our life that he put there. Y'all ain't helping me. Woo! I bless the Lord. I don't never come in knowing what a church needs. I never come in knowing what a meeting needs. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I need. God knows. My three children back there, Brother Lawson, I may think I know where they're at and what they need, but God's the only one that knows. Huh? Those of you with a husband and a wife, it'd probably shock you what they're actually dealing with in their heart of hearts. But I'm glad he knows. I'm feeling good again tonight, preacher. It feels good around here. It's been a good atmosphere. A good atmosphere all day here. Sweet. And easy. Bless the Lord. That's wonderful. I'm a little worried about some of the men on this side. They all look like rascals. That bunch in the middle, rough looking. I'm going to go ahead and declare church discipline, Pastor. I put one of them in charge a while ago of all the older women in the back, and he backed off right out of the... I mean, no courage, no courage. Hallelujah. The Lord's got the church on my heart tonight, and I just wanted you to know that I have no idea from week to week, 110 churches, what they need. The Lord's only one. But I'm glad He knows. He knows where we're at. And it's just in my studies. The Lord gives me studies and messages, and I preach them. They're not custom fit. They're not pulled out because I think somebody needs something. I've been preaching these three psalms for over a month. And then last week, a week ago, three churches ago, He added this 133rd one. It's lovely. Thought I'd go over it tonight. In Psalm 130, David's anguish. Boy, and we didn't take the time to look at that. It's not our burden tonight, but there was a man crying out of the depths. There was a man crying out of the night. There was a man crying out of the courtroom. There's three pictures of a man in awful sin. And the dread and guilt and anguish of sin. But thank God for verse 4. There is forgiveness with thee. Woo! I heard one man preach on that forgiveness. Brother Dana Williams, a personal mentor of mine, great evangelist. And it's to give forward. forward give. He said at Calvary, Jesus reached in the past and got all of our sins, and He reached in the future and sent them away. He gave them forward. They're gone. Y'all ain't helping me. I didn't say that as good as He said it, but woo, I know what I heard that night. Thank God my sins are gone. Bless the Lord. It's wonderful to have that deep peace and Holy Ghost joy of being reconciled with God, being righteous before God, being in relation to God, being right with God, because He took care of all my sins. Bless the Lord. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus went to the cross. He took my sin. When I went to the cross, He gave me His righteousness. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Forgiveness. Psalm 131. I'm going over these again. David's anxiety. But there is a future. Henceforth and forever. Verse 3. Hey, y'all. We've only got 70 years plus 10 if He's merciful. Dear time, when you're 40, you start feeling bad. When you're 50, you start feeling worse. When you're 60, you find out why. When you're 70, you pray God lets you live. And when you get in your 80s, you pray God lets you die. Help me now. I just solved all of your little worries right there. Thank God this thing don't... When you're a child of God, death doesn't end this. It just begins this. Hallelujah. Henceforth and forever. I'm not going to exercise myself in matters too great for me. Psalm 131. Psalm 132. David's anointing and his field. Down there in verse 6, he had that burden. I've got a 4-point message there, preacher. Heavy on my heart. And in a special service, it'll be preached. David's burden to bring that ark back. Oh, bless the Lord. We got young men here. My son Preston and Lucas. Got to visit with Lucas today. Found out
We got some mutual friends, and now he's my friend. And Lucas, it costs a lot to be my friend, so you gotta, I forgot to tell you that part. But you gotta get my car for me and go get me a Diet Coke. And you can't just be my friend for free, Brother Lucas. Enjoyed visiting with him. These young men, oh, I have news for these young men, these young ladies in this church. Y'all get a burden to go find the power of God, and God will let you.
Amen.
He'll let you find it. You can turn your generation upside down. You say, well, America's going down. Good. That's even better for the church to rise up.
Amen.
America's not the kingdom of heaven. That's what Mormons think. That's what Catholics think. America's not the kingdom of heaven. She's been a very special nation. She's been a very unique nation. I think America has played a special part in God's program at the end of the church age as it relates to Israel, as it relates to how special we were as a nation. She's played a special part, but she's going down. Now, Brother Lawson's a lot more well equipped to speak on these things than I am. And when I'm not here, I just repeat what he said and hoped it was right. And they say, boy, you know a lot. And I just say, God bless you. But oh, got news for you. Zephaniah 3:8. He's going to turn every nation against Jerusalem and Israel before it's done.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't want to get dramatic about this and not get worked up about it. I don't want to exercise myself in matters too great for me. But the communists took over America a while back with a soft coup.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to speak plainly. Everybody knows Biden's not running anything.
Amen.
And whoever that is that's behind the scenes, a small group of hardcore Marxists. When I was a boy, every other sermon was against communism, because they knew that would be the platform for the Antichrist. And now it's here. Somebody said, well, and I'm talking about the ark. Can we see the power of God with America going down? Probably a lot better chances of it. This nation will probably have to go down before the church will rise up. There's hope, you young men and young women. Somebody go find God. David's anointing and his field where he went and found it. Well, then I come to Psalm 133. David's analogy. He refers to the ointment on Aaron's head, and he refers to the dew on Mount Hermon. David's analogy, and we see the flow. That oil flowed down. And that dew flowed down Mount Hermon. Many baptistries that I'm in Baptist churches, there will be a painting of the Jordan River. And I've sat right there and right there my whole life. My whole life. First Sunday I was in the world, Mama had me on the first pew. And I've looked at them baptistries for 54 years, and many of them, the Jordan River, a painting, and you'll see that snow-capped mountain in the distance in that painting. That's Mount Hermon. Snow-capped year-round. I forget how many thousand feet in elevation I'm wanting to say, but I'm afraid I'd be wrong. It's the highest point in the Holy Land. And that hot sun beats down on the Mediterranean and takes that liquid water and vaporizes it into gas and clouds, and it rises and becomes clouds. And the way the wind blows that cloud, the clouds off the Mediterranean over, and it hits Mount Hermon and it collects the moisture at such a high altitude, stays snow capped.
begins to melt and come down. They say there's three springs coming out of the side and three tributaries that come down Mount Hermon and descend and meet. And I'm going to say something, expect y'all to act a little religious. And the three become one at the bottom of the mountain.
Amen.
Mm. Don't make me go get a soul choir. We're close enough to some.
Amen.
Y'all act halfway religious, I'll throw these flyers at you. The three become one at the base. And she flows from Mount Hermon down all the way and finally into the Dead Sea. Trying to recall the man's name. Starts with an A. It's not Gabelin. It's another writer I read behind. It'll come to me right when I pull off the parking lot and I won't be able to tell y'all. But I'll holler it all the way back to Ringgold. And the man been to the Holy Land multiple times. I know your pastor has. And he said where Jesus went in the Jordan, there are 13 waterfalls above him back up to Mount Hermon and 13 waterfalls below him going to the Dead Sea. He said there are 26 waterfalls. Jordan, the descender, means descender, descending. Jesus and this fella went over and measured and scientific research. It'll come to me. He writes little short books, but they're loaded. It's right there on the tip of my feeble brain. And said where Jesus went in. That Dead Sea being the lowest elevation on the earth.
Right.
Brother Lawson, if they turn the cameras off for a second, I'll tell you something I heard the other day and I liked it. All right, they can leave it on. I get all the interesting comments anyway. I don't read them, but I'm told about them. Brother Lawson, I heard in my studies, I was called when I was 13, been studying for 41 years. Not because I have to, but because I can't help it. I love the Lord and I love His Bible. I'm not studying for sermons. I'm studying to know Him.
Amen.
Brother Lawson, a man said about that Dead Sea, I never heard this, and I'm 50-50 on it. Maybe 70-30. Okay, I think I believe it. He said the Dead Sea being the lowest elevation on the earth, he believes that's where paradise was. And God scooped it out of there. Put it in the underworld. And then when Jesus cleaned out paradise, and you know Paul saw it in 2 Corinthians 12, caught up to the third of heaven, paradise. He believes that just like Jesus, amen, on earth, under, down below, and then resurrected high. He believes paradise has been there. It makes sense how the Dead Sea, why is that the lowest spot? So I'm back to 50-50. I'm going to wait and see if he believes it. If Brother Lawson goes along with this, then I'm 90-10. That was interesting. He believed God scooped paradise out of there, put it on below, and then up above. That makes some sense to me. I'll tell you after church if I believe it or not. Oh, dear neighbor. But there from Mount Hermon the highest to the Dead Sea, our lovely Savior entered into our sin. He entered into our world. He entered into our judgment. 13 waterfalls above him and 13 below him. 13 being the number of rebellion. Jesus entered in between two testaments. He entered in between two testaments. Reached back into all of our falls. Y'all ain't helping me. All our rebellion. You know what they told me? The man wrote a book on numbers. They told me this 2 weeks ago. The number 26 is the number of the gospel. I hadn't researched it. Don't know why he believed that, but I've got his book. I'm going to go look at it. Brother Randy Bell, actually my uncle, put a big book out on Bible numbers. He even started with zero. He said most people don't count zero as a number. But it's in the Bible. That sum, S-U-M. Oh, zero's a number. It just don't count. Leave me alone. I don't have time to develop that. But he said number 26 is the number of the gospel. I got to go study that. But I like that. Jesus entered into the Jordan. 13 falls above, 13 below. Thank God he reached one hand all the way back to the beginning, put another hand all the way at the end, gathered up all of our sins, all of our fall, all of our rebellion, and took it on himself. Thank God. Oh, neighbor. Let's look at this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Oh, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You know that Jordan that I described to you, Mount Hermon? It's a picture of the Lord Jesus. The sun came down from heaven and beat on the water, and it, amen, lifted up in the clouds and got on that mountain, came down 3 into 1, and Jordan runs all the way into the Dead Sea. Thank God, when I couldn't come to where he was, he came to where I was. Amen. When I could not become righteous, he became sin. I was condemned to be a son of man and then a son of hell. Amen. Like our father the devil, like he said about some. Thank God the Son of God came to where I could be made the son of God. The sons of God. Oh, bless the Lord. Well, I'd love to talk about that all, but I don't feel a burden for that. I will say this about it. That ointment. Boy, there's a lot of preaching. We start down this trail and get in that priest and that ointment. Oh, bless the Lord. We'd be there for an hour and just scratch the surface. I'd have to go get my soul choir. I'd lose half of y'all to supper time. But oh, dear neighbor, thank God. I'll tell you this, a little burden I had on my heart.
Sent me a little message a year ago and said, God, woke me. get down in some of them southern hemispheres and get stuck on the water. Be no wind for weeks and months. Get stuck in the doldrums. Sometimes be there too long until they die. Run out of supplies. Diseases take over. Lose their sanity. They pray for a breeze to pick up and hit that sail. Oh, dear neighbor. I didn't even realize it until just now, telling y'all. I was at the 40-year mark at first. I didn't realize that until just now. I've never told this. He prayed that I'd be a Lord of the threshold. He's a godly man. Real godly man. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Amen.
Charismatics and Pentecostals, and I know a bunch of them saved, they're just confused. Yeah. Honey, we don't need all that jibber jabberish.
No.
We don't need all them women preachers.
No.
We don't need all that non-biblical confusion.
Yeah.
The Pentecostal revival, 1900 and 1904, a 25-year-old evangelist, Methodist Wesleyan Holiness in Topeka, Kansas, and your modern tongues movement began. Brother Lawson, you correct me on this if I be correct on this. I thought about that. I'm going to Kansas in the morning. Y'all pray for me. I got a 12-hour drive. I would fly, but I got to go see a missionary that's in trouble in Arkansas. And Topeka, Kansas, age 25. I just got done reading behind the Bud Robinson. I just came out of John Wesley's church. I told you about that last month. And John and Charles Wesley. Them Methodists got to seeking something that they already had. They got to seeking something in the Spirit that they already had in the Savior.
Amen.
The Wesleyan Holiness Movement got to looking for sinless perfection. And they're trying to have it down here. And I think what they missed was they done had it over there.
Amen.
I've got sinless perfection in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, but now listen to that with a bunch of good Methodist preachers. Woo! Great Methodist preachers. But now, every one of them got a woman. Methodist church 2 miles from my house. Reverend James. He got there mowing the yard. You don't know how bad I want to pull in and have a word. I'm a little hungry when I'm on my way to Hardy's, Pastor. When I come back, I might stop, pull over, you know, pat her on the shoulder. But on the way there, I've almost pulled in more than once. And have a little Bible word with Reverend James. I feel my apostolic blood kick in. Just be with me. Over at John Wesley's. Went down in the basement. And we got every pastor of that church. Boy, I recognized on the wall a portrait and a little biography. The thing you can ask my youngins is a long wall. Every pastor sent, I believe that was the mid-1700s. And the last one is a picture of a woman. And a little rainbow flag that got all over the place. Wesley would turn over in his
grave.
Oh, dear time. Mike Bagwell said, Jesus came the first time, he had to pick women up. They were treated like slaves, like property, like dogs. He said, but the second time Jesus comes, he'll have to pull women down. Because men, being such bad shape, women had to take over.
Yeah.
Women running the home, running the government, and running the church. I believe Brother Bagwell had a point right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this boy in Wyoming, pray I've been anointed with fresh oil. 40th year. Oh, and I don't know how to tell you all this without taking an iron and just sharing a bunch of little things with you. But God's been doing that for my soul.
Amen.
You know, David said in Psalm 23, "He restoreth my soul."
Amen.
Old preacher Daddy one time said that's one of the greatest things he ever does for us.
Yeah.
He restores us.
Amen.
My daddy said, "Y'all looking for that big charismatic revival they're promising on them upper channels, you know, on the television?" In the words of Ed Ballou, "A home wash and buzzard puke." Of course, that wasn't the only word that we ever said. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of me and a great young pastor sitting up behind in the choir at Ed Ballou's funeral, and you were preaching. Somebody sent me a picture, had you in the picture, and me and now the pain was Christian. There's a lovely family of great person. Oh, I got news for you. Dear neighbor, I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Amen.
God's been doing that for me.
Amen.
David said he restored my soul. Old preacher Daddy said, "Y'all looking for a big revival, don't even appreciate the little ones."
Yeah. Amen.
Not but then he said, "Brother Lawson," he said, "every Wednesday night, you know that Wednesday night prayer meeting? He said, every Wednesday night works. There's never been a failure of a Wednesday night prayer meeting."
Amen.
Smallest crowd, lowest ebb. Daddy said there'd never been a Wednesday night that didn't work. God sitting down there with his children, taking our names, filtering out all of our silly prayers and turning them into good ones. Y'all ain't definitely. And tell them what about my foot. He said, "I thought you preached against that." I said, "Yeah, but it's my foot now." In your body and in your situational protection. He said, "Every morning God wakes you up, that's a revival."
Amen. Amen.
You little black saints, that's what they say when you greet them. "He woke me up this morning." And they're praying to God for it.
Amen.
I had my own revival living in these motels in black maids. They got more God on them when they tell me good morning than half of my sermons. I'm dealing with all of y'all. It's a cross I carry. "How you doing this morning?" I said, "Too blessed to be stressed."
Amen.
I try to say something spiritual, then they just make one little comment, 10 times more spiritual than what I said. I said, "He's fat." He says, "Well, that's how they do it. Do it every morning."
Amen.
Yeah. "But I'm going to give up. You go ahead and preach the line." "I'm not believing in women preachers. You go ahead." Don't y'all ask me to stand here and double up on them. There's a little woman down that room. We had our first camp meeting. It'll be the last one I have, preacher. Will I take it 10 or 15 years. I ran a meeting in my 20s. I ran a meeting in my 30s. I ran a meeting for 12 years. In the 5 years, COVID for 5 years, not had anything. We're laid on my heart. We're having one more camp meeting. Rome Baptist, February 26th. Y'all are coming. And you're not my friends no more." I know there's no real loss in that for you, but that's all I got to threaten you with. And I'll give y'all half the love off it if you can get him to come. Can't get him out of his backyard and out of y'all's church anymore. Y'all bring him one time, I'll give y'all half the love off him. I'll keep y'all and I'll give y'all the love. church is in the mountains. He's down there pastoring our own Baptist tent. I started giving Miss Tammy a ride. Come out of the project. We raised the money for the camp meeting preacher. Took $40,000 to put on the camp meeting. Miss Tammy said, it was just a handful of it. The church only got about 50. We raised the money out of, there was only 30 of us sitting there. And it was time that the Lord moved, it was time to raise it. Miss Tammy, we could have been there. What a blessing, she said. She said, praise the name. She said, I don't have anything. She said, I get $291 a month for food stamps. I pay what it is. She said, that's all I got. She said, I'll take it to the grocery store. I'll buy groceries and I'll bring it home. And I'll cook it. And I'll bring it. And what I'm going to tell you is only so you'll understand. It was over. It's just so they'll understand the illustration, Pastor. I don't want to talk about numbers. David talked about numbers and got in trouble with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just for the illustration. Yeah. Over 500 came from that thing. And every word could be feeling. The guy over there, remember something? I'm about to shout, I'm about to bar that walker and run down the middle aisle. Little church is worried, will we have enough to feed them? Did you know there was enough?
Amen.
And more?
Amen.
On the last day in this tent, a little old black woman, she said to the priest, had me on my little shoulder. She said, I know you're good enough. She said, I brought my 5 loaves of meat this time. But he was this guy stuff all the time.
Amen.
She said, he does this stuff in my hands all the time. She said, and she walked away and still said, 5 loaves of two fishes. 5 loaves of two fishes.
Hallelujah.
I said, I'm back to believing in women preachers. Mad about it in Wesley's church, but now I'm okay. They got a couple there. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm enjoying it. Oh, y'all. I shall be alone with fresh oil. He restores my soul.
Amen.
He restores my soul.
Amen.
If he didn't, you wouldn't last to make something.
Right,
right. Hallelujah. If he didn't, he'd could be a minister by summer.
Right.
If he didn't, well, we look for this large carrot on a stick, sensational, you know, earth-shaking revival. Why don't you thank God for the little ones?
Amen.
Not to keep you going. And now, for a little space, grace has been shown.
Hallelujah.
And it said there, am I in Esther? Is that in Esther or is that Ezra? A little space, grace, hath been shown. And it said, to give us a little revival.
Amen.
A little space must be just enough for a little grace.
Yeah.
And he's actually said, a little revival.
Yes, sir.
I got a message I ain't never preached again. I got like 1,000 of those. Somewhere, somebody's not looking me for revivals. I got 1,000. But a little revival is all you need.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm about to shout. Glory. Don't remember in Acts 19, I think it's 19. You remember those 12 disciples? Where were certain disciples? Paul had just left Apollos, gifted young man, make sure me and you've got enough.
Who'll gather on this altar with me? Could I invite y'all on a Sunday night? Meet me on this altar. Let's pray for God to pour out fresh oil coming off the head of our high priest, running down to the skirts of his garment, dripping down on those that are there to tug at his garment. Ask for mercy. We'll just play and let God's people pray.